Do you listen to yourself? All the time. I have a podcast.
You are now tuned in to the Corporate Black Girls Podcast.
So tell us, what's your dream job?
Darling, I've told you several times before, I have no dream job. I do not dream of labor.
How are you?
I'm successful. How are you?
Hey, co-workers.
Happy.
Hello, we're back.
Wednesday.
Happy hump day.
Yes, yeah. Happy hump day.
You know, I end all of my emails on Wednesdays and happy hump day.
I either start or end my emails like that. Well, really, whatever day it is. Happy Tuesday. Happy Friday, yeah. Eve. Happy Friday. Hope you're well.
Right. Make you seem like you're happy.
Exactly.
Just don't pick up the phone and call me.
Really?
So, speaking of that, you guys, today I want to chat about, you know, workplace myths, facts or fictions, policies and procedures, what you think you can and cannot do, and what is simply just a policy or what's the word? I'm drawing
what, procedures?
No, like if it's actually policy or if it's a
protocol. Well, I mean, those are similar. I mean, really, it's just more so like what they want you to think is true versus what you actually can and cannot do.
Yeah, it's a word for that. I just can't think of it.
So
right
what
now.
We can Anywho. Understand. So
yeah,
you got a topic number one, or if
I
not,
got a list. I want to know what's on your mind, because you seem like you ready, friend.
Well, because I was thinking, because the idea of going back into the office, like, and a lot of people are doing, like, okay, so I'll give a little bit of backstory. So I know someone who is on the brink of losing or stepping away from their position because they're unwilling to get vaccinated. So,
yep.
Policies, procedures, protocols, people are putting... You know, employers are putting that into the works of, hey, either you vaxxed or you not.
Yep.
Vaxxed. So,
I know a lot of companies that are, you know, requiring by a certain day
right.
outside of healthcare. We all know healthcare is doing it, but even outside of healthcare that are saying you need to be vaccinated by this particular day. And if not, you will be fired.
Right.
They're not even giving you an option. And so... I mean, I even know a couple of people because the company that's doing it is our direct competitor who I work for. And I'm going after their people like crazy
now.
No,
absolutely.
Because even with my company, we aren't necessarily requiring it, but they are requiring that you have two, like if you come into the office, you need to have a negative test within those 2 days.
Okay.
So...
You gotta go get your rapid.
You have to do it every 2 days. Yeah, like if you have to do it every 2 days. So if you're a person that works in the office every day, mm-hmm. you have to go and get like a test every 2 days. Which, once again, that's policy. That's a fact. Let's quote that as a fact.
I was gonna say, let's be clear. Is that something that people can?
Yes.
Like they can employ, but can they make you do that? Now I'm all for it, however.
Yeah. There's a mandate because, well, actually, just as of today, here in Texas, for all the people who listen outside of Texas, here in Texas, Governor Abbott just released the mandate for employers to mandate people to get vaccine. But in other states like New York and for like big companies like Kaiser, which is a medical facility, mm-hmm. like they are, New York got the National Guard out there trying to step in for medical workers. So some of the medical workers like, no, if you know, I done been working through this whole pandemic, you can't make me
mm-hmm.
go and get vaccinated. So, but it is policy in a lot of states. So, you know, and the thing is, let me put y'all on game. If you were to get fired, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to automatically get unemployment either, because if you get unemployment, there are stipulations outside of just being fired. So a lot of times if you have violated a policy or procedure or something, like there are violations of something, then you will not be awarded unemployment. So be careful, y'all. Be careful.
Now I heard you say be careful. That's all I heard.
Well, I was talking about It's okay. You don't need to hear it. They heard it. So, let me just repeat it. What I was saying is that, long story short, you know, if you violate a policy and procedure, you can't get unemployment. So if someone fires you and puts you down as a violating policy and procedure, you won't be awarded unemployment, at least not in the state of Texas. Now, I don't really know the other states like that, but I know for a fact in Texas that that's the thing.
You know what? Texas be doing everything they can. First off, it's at will. Secondly, if they find any reason.
But you can fight it, though. Like, definitely fight it. I don't know the ins and outs of you guys, but because it's so new, but definitely fight it. So,
okay, I just wanted to get that one out the way.
That's the COVID thing, you know. I feel so bad because my best friend Jazz, she has to go back into the office full time. It's non-negotiable for them.
Full time?
I negotiated full time. I negotiated in my start when I was about to start because my company is a, you know, we want to be in the office type of company. Mm-hmm. But I negotiated that. I want to work in hybrid, and I made sure that that was in my
your contract,
in my offer letter as well. Yes, to make sure that I was going to be remote, because eventually, you know, you can start off. That's what you guys need to understand, like the difference when you are job searching and stuff. You can start off remotely because, you know, right now pretty much all of us are at remote. When you interviewing, when you're about to accept the job, ask them people like, do we plan on going back into the office? You know, when is the day to go back into the office? Is hybrid negotiable?
Exactly. What is your game plan? What has been set out?
Yes, because a lot of companies, you know, they don't necessarily have it, and they used to not have it in their policies and procedures, but things are definitely changing. I'm telling y'all, reading is fundamental. It's powerful.
Girl, speaking of which, tell me why, for the first time, so you know the 5-day work week is a thing right now, trying to figure out, you know, is that going to continue to be, well, for the U.S., because outside the U.S., it's normal to not work 5 days a week. Child, why do I find my first job description that highlighted that they have a 4-day work week? Okay, so I found my very first job description within a US-based company, let me be clear, where they list they have a 4-day work week. And so they're already remote on top of having a 4-day work week. And I was like, you know what? Say less.
You remember the industry?
No. Not off the top of my head. It's in my LinkedIn. I'll send it to you. But
are you sure it's a 980? Like, was it a 4-day work week or a 980?
No, it's a 4-day work week.
Yes, and for all y'all who don't my goodness. For all you guys don't
know what
980 is when you basically work.
You get like every other Friday
off or every other Sunday off. So that's still not, it's better, but it ain't life. You know what I'm saying?
It ain't gonna cut it. Mm-mm. Close, but no cigar. Mm-mm. No, I need that 4-day daddy.
I cannot. They really, because me and Zay were like cussing and fussing about that the other day. Like, who the hell came up with a 5-day work week? And you only give me 2 days, and your only off day really to me is Saturday. Because Sunday, you getting prepared to work. And then Friday, you done work and you trying to go out and, you know, use your last $2. Like Janet Taylor said,
I mean, very much that. But you know who did? A mediocre white man. I can't think of his name right now. But his picture so been floating around social media.
Because we've been upset.
And as soon as I look for it, I ain't going to find it. But of course, it was a mediocre white man.
Of course. All right, y'all. So another thing is that I want to let's talk about PTO requests. So I've been asked this from my clients, just in conversations. Like, when it comes to PTO requests or vacation requests or even sick days requests, you do not have to tell your manager or whomever the reason why you taking off. It's just a request. I mean, it's common courtesy. Yeah, you know, they'll ask, but it ain't, you don't have to tell them, and you don't have to tell them the truth. Now, specifically when it comes to sick days, I know a lot of people be like, oh, you need to provide a doctor's note. Mm-mm, that's not true. In all states and most companies, if you miss 2 to 3 consecutive days, Then on a sick day, then you have to provide a doctor's note. And let's be clear, when sick days different from PTO days, by saying sick days, is those are the days you use when you need to call in. PTO is normally what you use when you have like a vacation or a scheduled day off. Just to give y'all that little difference, because I know a lot of people have gotten written up or denied or whatever the case may be. So if it's a day that you call in and you at a company that's like a stickler, make sure you differentiate the two when you put in your time.
So, okay. You know, I have like floating holidays. Mm-hmm. I have floating sick days. It does the same go for that?
Yeah.
Well, and what the hell are those? Well, I'm still trying to, for supplemental sick, I have that. I have regular sick days, supplemental sick days, floating holidays.
Okay, so floating holiday, it is what it is. Like, you just be able to take off a day. It's a part of your PTO plan. It can even be a part of your sick day, you know. I think a lot of people prefer for you to plan a floating holiday, but it's just acts as an extra day that's not a part of the, you know, what is that, 18 days, 14 days, however many your company give you. It's just a floating holiday. A lot of people say, oh, the way they do is like, oh, yeah, we give you your birthday off. It's a floating holiday. Or they try to subsidize it with, like, Juneteenth or MLK Day, you know.
Right, those types of things
that you don't normally get off.
Black shit.
I mean, you know, some people can use it for, our company said, oh, well, this gives you an extra day off for 4th of July or something for those who wanted to use it. So that's what a floating holiday is. Sick days and supplemental sick days are pretty much one and the same. I think with the supplemental sick days, you do have to show some type of documents or give a reason why, because it kind of ties into FMLA, but not completely. But it really also depends on your company. So use your regular sick days before you start using your supplemental sick days. And once again, you don't have to tell them what's wrong with you. You can just say, hey, not feeling well today, not going in. It's common courtesy.
But does that count as saying that, does that count as you telling them, I don't feel well today?
I mean, because it's a sick day. That's what I'm trying to, so the difference between a sick day and a PTO.
Oh, gotcha.
Now, in the same breath, you can also, a sick day constitutes as emergency well. So you can say, hey, I have a family emergency, or I have an emergency that I got to tend to. Sick day could be, you know, a mental health day. Now you see companies having mental health days, like, within their PTO packages or whatever. But a sick day could be a a mental health day, too. It does not mean that you got to have damn sniffles and throwing up with the flu for you to use a sick day. It could be whatever. And the only time you need to provide documents, if you miss. Now, this is within policy. Between 2 to 3 days, companies fluctuate that. But make sure before your manager give you some BS about, you missed yesterday, I need you to send me a doctor's note. No, I don't need to send you a doctor's note because I have not missed 2 to 3 consecutive days. Now, the key word is consecutive. You can call in on Monday, go in on Tuesday, call out on Wednesday. That shit start over. Now, y'all, let me tell y'all something. This is just fact versus myth. Don't get your ass fired because of this.
Right. Like, we need a disclaimer at the top of this. Listen, take this with a grain of salt.
With a grain of salt. I'm just giving you guys fact versus a myth. What else does my list say? You got anything you need to clarify?
Salary negotiations or expectations. Mm-hmm. Recruiter saying, so I know, well, shit. In California, I think that is illegal now. I don't know about Colorado as well. But if they say, well, one, putting the salary on the job description or being able to ask, what are you currently making, or withholding the salary expectation for a particular position.
So different states, this is where you have like the difference between like Bandbox and those different things. So there are certain states that make us put our job, our salaries on the job description. I know for sure.
And Texas need to be one of them.
Texas is not one of them.
I said Texas needs to
be one of them. I'm saying, and I respond. Definitely not one of them. Colorado, I'm going to tell y'all what the real is. Most of the states that have, we don't have weed restrictions are the ones that have Colorado, California is not required per se. I think it's certain cities within California, if I'm not mistaken. It could have been updated. These laws update every damn month, y'all. But Philly has to do it as well. It is illegal in every single state for them to ask you what you used to make or what you're currently making or your salary history. If you see it in a job description, or not a job description, in an application, and it's like a requirement. Now, if they just put it on there, you know, and it's a requirement before you to be able to move on to the next, then yes, that is illegal. It is not illegal to ask what your salary expectations are. Now, a lot of us say, oh, well, you know, currently I'm making X. Don't ever do that. And everybody who does that, I'm just going to keep yelling at y'all. Don't ever do that.
I was going to say, refer back to
all the videos that I have, like I screamed that, do not tell people what you are currently making, what you're previously making. Always try to get them to answer first. We are not, as recruiters and hiring managers, we're not required to tell you what the salary is. It's not a law that says I have to tell you what the salary is, right? However, this is a red flag. If you are talking to a recruiter or someone and it's just a constant back and forth so we can give a number, like in today's thing, the lady knew that the position I was calling her for was going to be under market. And so she was like, you know, I normally don't do this, but I already know what I'm making, and if just let me know if this is something that y'all can match. And I was like, not with this particular role, but we might have another role that is within that range. But yes, if a company is not giving you a range, then you probably
there's a reason why.
Yeah, you just need to chunk the deuces there. And it also could very much so just be an old school recruiter or something, but get that range before you guys are moving on. But the only thing that is a fact here is that it is illegal for someone to ask you what your previous history is when it comes to salary. So don't.
What are the steps that you take if that happens?
EEOC. And especially if you don't move forward, like if they decide not to move forward with you on something, and especially if you were to get the job and then you realize you have known that you coming in under market rate, under your coworkers or whatever the case may be, it's different levels to it. I'll drop a link in there to the EEOC that'll actually detail where you can get that information and the steps to take there. So good information there. One that I have is when you talk to human resources, they'll keep it confidential. That's not the case. We are not a priest. Now, the thing is that, no, we cannot give the information that you disclose to like your peer or whatever, but we are going to tell the boss. We are going to, you know, like that. You come to HR on your boss and you want to keep it confidential or something like that, it's not going.
Do people think that?
A lot of people do think that. And from there, you know, now it really depends on the person. You got the confidential people. And I mean, half of the time, somebody in HR is going to go share with another member of HR or, you know, whatever. Because at the end of the day, yeah, we're there. Like the difference is that we're there to keep legal actions from against the company, what it is. I mean, you know, but then also to be a quote unquote advocate for you. So like if you have any type of harassments or anything like that, then yes. But the real thing is that to me, I will go to compliance and legal before I go to human resources, and I'm in human resources, right? Like I will go to compliance and legal because human resources is going to go to compliance and legal to try to mitigate whatever harassment that you have, give you a settlement, because at the end of the day, all these people work for the company.
Right. So. But see, even that, like, I don't even know if a lot of people know that going to compliance and legal is an option.
Yes.
A lot of people think that your first step has to be HR when it's not the case.
And a lot of places, a lot of companies have a third party vendor that they utilize if you do not feel comfortable with going to HR. And so the way that you find out that information is normally on your website, like under your careers page or something like that, or just ask your HR person like, hey, who do I go to outside? Who is the third party vendor outside of human resources? Of course, they're going to ask you like, oh my goodness, what's wrong? You can talk to us about it. Just be straight. I do not feel comfortable with giving you this information and X, Y, and Z. Even further with that, when it comes to like FMLA paperwork and stuff like that, you know, you definitely have to get as detailed as possible with the FMLA company. There's two types of ways you can do FMLA. So you can go, most companies either have like a third party that approves it, or they approve it directly with the human resources. And a lot of times the smaller companies, they go right through the human resources and they approve or deny or whatever. I hate that. It's legal though. And then that's how all your business get out really. However, if you know that your company has a third party vendor, please ask if your company will let you go directly through the vendor. Now the vendor is going to give them some details, especially if you have to have like a certain work schedule or a certain type of, you know, time off. They're going to give certain information, but that third party is going to go along with HIPAA way more than your human resources is. So, yep.
The more you know.
The more you know, you guys.
Okay, what's next on the list?
Okay. Your manager can't make you do something that's not in your job description. Okay.
Okay, wait. This is... Wait.
You guys, so you know how all of...
You said that's a myth.
It's a myth, and it's an actual myth. So for you guys to be like, shit, that ain't in my job description.
That's because, well, you know, noted. A lot of job descriptions have in that, if you don't read it right, reading is fundamental. They had a little asterisk that say, areas of responsibility and activities can basically go farther than what this shit say right
here. Yes. Now, let me tell you guys how to combat that, you know, on a integrity and a legally part thing, right? So if you are doing a job that, because job descriptions are not binding documents, y'all. It's not a binding contract.
Well, if you be thinking they signing their life away, like,
because I hear this all the time, like, ooh, that's not in my job description. Hell, I didn't even say that before, okay?
No, we've all said it.
So
we've all said it. Also, your ass being at McDonald's or Starbucks 16 hours out of your workday also is not in your job description, but you doing it, aren't you? Shit, you getting your nails done while you supposed to be on the clock, ain't you?
That's the
life. Surely is.
Work-life balance. Listen, so, okay, you guys. Now, you can say no at work. Like, you can say no, let them know that you are not comfortable with taking on this task. You know, you don't have the time in the day. It's okay to say no. Don't come back them with saying no because it's not in my job description, you know. Once again, they can probably stunt your growth, put a sour taste in their mouth, fire your ass.
But I feel like the former is also going to be doing the same thing.
I mean, but
you said that. My reaction was, who's saying that? Who said that?
Or when they're giving you extra duties, especially if the extra duties entitle somebody else's work, then this is where you take that. And you say, okay, well, I would definitely add this to the duties that is normally, like, say you're a specialist versus an analyst, right? So now they're giving you things that normally, like, who your coworker is an analyst that you normally don't do. Or, you know, it's starting to build reports and things and say, me personally, I would probably do it for a little bit to make sure that I can do it. But like, hey, you know, this is adding X amount of hours to my day. This is adding X amount of, you know, research and this, that, and the other. This is something that the analyst does, and I'm a specialist. We need to revisit my job title and salary. Like, that's how you do that when you are given extra tasks. Like, extra tasks to me means extra money.
Right.
So, and then that's just something.
Extra output.
Extra output. Extra income. So
exactly.
Yes. So yes, you guys, they can give you more tasks. But what I would say is that with that, I would ask for another detailed job description with that, both you and your manager sign. Because if you guys notice, a lot of companies, you have the job description when you're interviewing, but do a lot of y'all sign y'all job descriptions? Now some companies do. I work with a company where when I was a part of your onboarding was you signing your job description. Now that was a call center.
I've had those.
That was a call center. Because that's all I heard when I worked at the call center. That ain't in my job description. She didn't.
Right.
So, you know, y'all just take heed to that. So that is a myth, you guys. I'm not just gonna give y'all all facts. That's a myth. Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. With that myth and your direction to kind of combat that, should one wait till it's, you know, review time or whatever to be able to say like, hey, we need to basically look at my title and my income or my salary and renegotiate that? Or is that something that you could say right then and there?
You can say it right then and there.
What if your review just passed?
You can still say it right then and there because they should have given you more duties in your review as your action plan, right?
Sure.
To let you know that you're doing a lot more of these things. So.
Well said.
Now, here's the big one, you guys. Your employer has the right to prohibit you from discussing your salary with your coworkers. They do not have the right to do that. You need to ask your coworker when you join in, girl, how much you make? Bro, how much you make? This needs to be a regular conversation every day to me. Like, and until it does, people are going to be shorthanded, especially Black people, especially women, especially Black women. Like, it's just going to happen. They cannot. Now, it is common courtesy for them. Like, it has been ingrained in us, especially the generations before us, not to do it. But it is nowhere in policy and procedures. As a matter of fact, federal law forbids employers from preventing workers to discuss their salaries, right? Like, it's forbidden for law to do that. But it's kind of like the quote-unquote work etiquette. And if y'all think about it, it's really work etiquette of these CEOs and employers who are really trying to penny pinch and save money. Don't do that. Ask your coworker how much you make.
Okay, so let's before... Okay, how? So you saying once I've already signed and I'm onboarded and it's my first day in the office or whatever, all that is already behind me. Can I still change it? If I ask person A and I'm like, oh, I make $50,000. And they're like, oh, girl, I make $75,000.
Now, here's...
What do you do then?
Here's the thing, you guys. Y'all want to make sure you get all facts before you go and shake the table. Okay? So, if you're having the conversation with your coworkers, like, oh, yeah, I made $50,000. Oh, I'm making $60,000. Or I'm making $75,000 or $80,000. Y'all need to compare resumes and experience. Even if you don't compare with them because they're not that comfortable, go look at their LinkedIn. Then also, you know, if y'all are having this conversation, was the difference is that if you're making 50 and I'm making 60, what was offered to you? If we have the exact same experience, the exact same degrees and certifications, right?
Sure, because it could be a matter of whether I negotiated.
Right, and you put the words right out of my mouth. Did they both offer us $50,000, right? I just accepted, but you negotiated for 60 and then they accepted. Now, if it's same situation, if both of y'all got 50 and he negotiated 60 and you negotiated 60, but they only gave you 50 and they gave him 60, that's where the problem in lies, y'all. Like, so you want to get all the facts when you are speaking with your coworker or whoever. Like, you know, it all depends on, because at the end of the day, employers are way more covered by the laws than we are. So you really have to find that special circumstance. So if I'm talking to you and we both right now, what the difference is that if they were to say, oh, well, she graduated from A&M, but you graduated from Prairie View, that's discrimination, right? It's those little things that you guys need to weed out. So don't shake the table because you talk to, you know, Sarah and Sarah made 60, but when you were offered the position at 55, you took it. So that's the difference.
So yeah, but let's go back a little bit more. So I'm saying even before, so yeah, cool. If I've already started and now you technically are my coworker, but before I even meet you and I'm contemplating on whether I'm going to take this position at all, Are you saying that there is still a way or that we should try and discuss, or whether we're, you know, find somebody on LinkedIn or whatever who's potentially going to have the same job title and ask them, hey,
exactly,
I'm contemplating accepting this offer. Would you mind?
I would love for that to be the new normal, because that's definitely something. Is once again, it's not illegal. So the answer to me is yes, because it's not illegal. So if you have connected with somebody on LinkedIn, and all of this can also blow up in your face, y'all. So let, once again, the disclaimer, if you connect with, you know, John on LinkedIn and you see that he's been in his position for a year, the way that I would do it is I would say, I would invite him to a virtual coffee to let him know that you're in the final stages with your interview and you have a couple of offers on the table. And so you just want to make sure that you're making the right decision and would love to hear from a peer. This is outside of setting a peer conversation up with the recruiter, because they're going to give you, because, you know, this peer person probably went through interview training and has been told not to discuss salary, right? Versus you reaching out to somebody on your own and saying, hey, just trying to make sure I make the right decision. I see that you've only been there for a year, or I've seen you've been there for a couple of months. Just wanted to, you know, chat with you and why you made the decision to go to this particular company. That's how I would approach it. And then in that conversation, you know, just say, oh, yeah, I have multiple offers on here. They've offered me X amount of dollars, you know. They offered me 70, and you know, my goal was really X amount. I just want to make sure that I'm being given this wage fairly or whatever. Don't put that at the beginning of the conversation, but kind of loop that in somewhere. Like, you know, ask them about how they like the company, what was onboarding, like, are you happy that you made the decision? Just make it a conversation and then throw that salary in there. If they're comfortable, great. If they're not, don't push it. You're probably going to shake the table if they offer more than you. Might lose the offer. It's always a toss up with that. But I think that that's something that we need to be to start doing as a people, as a generation, as all of it. So it's a risk either way. The way I would do the conversation is I would say, you know, hey, I have a couple of job offers out there and I would love to have this conversation with you to make, you know, to kind of chat through the reason why you made the decision. Me personally, I would probably get someone who's been there for less than a year. Right, so you can have that new hire type of thing, and then I will just ask them, are you happy that this was the decision that you made? How the first couple of months, what was the onboarding like, what was the training like? You know, this is the like I mentioned before, I have a couple of offers and this is the salary that they made me. I want to make sure that it's competitive, you know, before I go in and accept or even negotiate. You know, if you're talking to somebody who's been there for a year or so, like, you know, what is the promotion track or whatever. Now, this is where you risk, you know, them maybe saying, oh yeah, I spoke with, you know, someone that you guys were interviewing, or somebody that you made an offer to and we had a conversation. They had these questions for me. So it could go either way, really depending on who you're, you know, speaking with. What I would probably do, if you are in a company that's a multi-state company, try to find somebody within your same position.
That makes sense, because I was thinking the exact opposite. I was thinking find somebody that is in the state, because then, you know, like, they do vary offers based off of your state as well.
It does vary. That's true. I mean, that's a good point. That's a great point. So maybe if in the same, maybe the region, but that's a really, 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 really good point.
Needless to say, go for the blacks first. I'm going to be searching through the LinkedIn looking for the black people first.
Go, yes. That's always what I do. Every time I interview or even accept a job, I go and see how many black folks they are. I go and see, like, all of this information that I try to get and reach out. And even when I was trying to decide between 1, 2, and 3 companies, and I did that. I reached out to a couple of people, asked them how it was going. I don't think I actually physically talked to them. We were just kind of going back and forth on LinkedIn messaging or Instagram messaging, like if I actually knew them, and which gave me my ultimate decision plus the salary or whatever. But Yeah, so definitely before you accept, especially if you're on the fence or if you think you're getting underpaid or whatever, go and chat and talk and try to get as much information as you can.
Grain of salt, because even all, you know, what they say,
it's the risk. You know, I mean, all everything that I'm telling you guys, because
that is true.
Yeah, the myths are there for a reason, because it has been the status quo, right? So when you are going against the grain and going against the myths, it's a possibility that you're gonna be looked at the wrong way, that you're gonna get fired, that you're gonna whatever, because. You know, myth. Let's talk about this myth. Your boss needs a good reason to fire you. No, they don't. Most, not all states, but most states are at will state. So that means that I can come into your office and be like, you know what, we no longer need you, and fire you.
But you know what, though? If doing your due diligence and doing your research causes for somebody to rescind an offer, or, you know, they going behind your back and being like this, that, and the third, then that automatically tells you that that's not the type of environment you want to be in anyways. Because, I mean, yes, it is risky, but it's for your benefit that you found out sooner than later, and it tells you exactly what you could have been signing up for. So, needless to say, it might be worth it, because it really may start showing people's true colors, or the company's true colors, before you even put yourself at risk or even start your part of the investment.
All
so,
of that. Another myth is that 80% of job openings are never advertised. I don't know if 80% is the exact number, but a lot of jobs are not advertised. I mean, even with most companies I've been with, I would have a hiring manager that would say, hey, can you be on the lookout for this particular role or this particular skill set, right? And so this is where the power of networking comes in. This is where the power of making sure that your LinkedIn is in the right settings to be able to find things. This is where the power in keywords and all of that.
Kind of like your keyword searches
just,
and things
just
like that.
To put you guys on game. I mean, most of the, because I have even been in situations to where my manager, it 9 times out of 10, if it's not posted, they either, number one, have somebody in mind, or secondly, they're not looking to do an immediate hire. So normally, if it's not a position that's posted like that, you know, it's because, like right now, Q4, right? So I'm looking for 3 positions that have very niche skill set, and they are, that he told me, I'm taking my time because I want to find the right person, and I haven't posted the position. I have been running searches, I have been looking at people on LinkedIn and the other tools that I use. So once again, make sure that everything is up to date all the time, because you never know what company is doing this. And then send those connections in LinkedIn. This is where you have those emails to say, hey, I see that your company is doing this, like asking for a referral, if you know if your company is hiring or this, that, and the other. Because to put y'all on game, especially if you got a company that has referral bonuses that's $1,000 or more, even a substantial amount, I will entertain a conversation with you. So you can, I can be your referral bonus and get that money. And so you never know.
Yeah,
so this is, once again, the power of networking, the power of just, you know, getting outside of the scaredness and the status quo, and just making yourself look a little different. Than the market is high. There are 1 billion people in the market right now, no exaggeration. So what does your resume do? What do you do to look different and feel different than the average applicant? And I'm going to be honest, I barely look at the applications that come in, because 9 times out of 10, this is a myth and a fact for recruiters. So normally when we have a job posting, you know, you get 100 resumes, and maybe 2 or 3 actually are resumes that qualify. So normally that's kind of like one of our last things in sourcing, especially if we're looking for a particular skill set or looking if somebody is open. I'm gonna head right over to LinkedIn and send a message when I feel like I've done what I can in LinkedIn. That's when I'm like, oh yeah, let me go in this ATS system real quick.
So let me ask this. So, you know, when you do we have to register for a or an account, rather, when you're trying to do a job application and they ask you, do you want the company to keep your resume on file for the next 3, 6, 12 months, how many ever, or however long. It seems as if, you know, like, naturally thinking, or maybe this is just my thought process, that, okay, it's just going to go into a big-ass pool, probably isn't going to be viewed again. Like, there's, I'll click the box just to say that I did it, but I don't really expect to hear anything back from it. But to combat that, and I think we've talked about this before, when those, especially on those workday applications, mm-hmm. when it types you, ask you to type in all those different skills, and it's like mm-hmm. beginner, intermediate, advanced, expert, and a lot of people yeah. bypass mm-hmm. that because it is time consuming and tedious.
Yes, that's what I use because.
But does on that work? System,
when you type in, so say it's on your resume, right? And this is why a lot of companies have that, mm-hmm. you know, copy. You basically have to copy and paste in your thing because. The ATS system does not populate over from if I'm running a search. So say I'm running a search for Salesforce automation, right? If you, yeah, you might have it on your resume, mm-hmm. but this system hasn't been designed to pick up the particular resume. So if you put it in on the, you know, the intermediate skills or whatever, when I'm typing in this and I do my balloon search and then I have Houston area or whatever area, this is going to give me that list of people, everyone that's in the system. And when I tell y'all, we use that, especially when I have not found the person that I needed to find. And I was like, okay, I know. Because I did this the other day. I'm still new to this ATS system that I'm using, and I cannot find this particular skill set that I'm looking for. And it's like an emergency skill. So on LinkedIn, I've been getting rejections, this, that, and the other from people mm-hmm. that's not interested. So I reached out and I said, hey, is there any way for me to do this skill set on here? Because I know it's some candidates that probably fell through the crack, right? So you go in and you type in basically the same thing you might type in at on LinkedIn, and then you get a whole list of candidates that come up. You know, like when I was helping with your resume, I just typed in the skill set that I needed. I know these are the words that I need. Let me see what these profiles pull up. So that's how that works.
Now, can I put in a personal ad? Y'all, please, 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 I implore you. It will behoove you, your career, and your pockets to go ahead and get with my friend, The Millennial Careers. Because let me tell you something. She did, you know, a couple of, you know, changed some things to my resume. Now, let me do you one better. I've already had my resume done prior to my friend launching her business. One of the top names in the business. And let me tell you how the block has been way hotter with my friend, my best friend, my co-host, the Millennial Careerist, with the whatever she got up her sleeve, the block has been hot. So let me tell you something. If you need some dollars, if you need a new environment, please go ahead and reach out to my friend. Let her help you. Help you.
Cause fact
help me, please.
Last week, recruiters look at your resume for 45 seconds. Yes, we do. I'm looking for keywords. I'm looking for what I hear my manager in my mind. I need, this is the checklist. That's what I need. That's what I'm going to reach out to you about. Now, so girl, so that makes you think, oh, I don't really need a detailed resume. Yes, you do, because when I send your resume over to the hiring manager,
sure.
they're going to comb through all of those little things that you need. So you need a resume. Cover letters is an up and miss, you know. I think it depending on the industry that you're in when it comes to cover letters and everything. But y'all, I promise y'all, it's to invest, just not selling yourself, me even myself, you got to invest in your resumes, y'all. I promise you, it's the difference between there, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's little things in your resume or little things in your conversations with people that literally show you the difference. Don't limit yourself to the position that you're in now, right? Like, don't think that the position I'm in doesn't qualify me for this next position. Like, it doesn't. Keep looking. Like, your resume is talking about not only your history, but your transferable skills and your potential. So, that's my little skill.
What they used to say, don't dress for the job you have, dress for the job you want. The resume is the same thing. Dress that hoe up, but exactly what it is that's supposed to be next.
Miss you guys, and y'all gonna have. If this is a long episode, I'm sorry because we have some technical difficulties, and I really don't know what the time is looking like. So,
very much that.
Yes,
but y'all getting some really, really good information.
Companies are supposed to give bad references. That is the most myth. Now, you can, if you guys are, a lot of people think that they can only confirm and your dates of employment and title, that's not the case. Like, it, a lot of times people can overtalk even when they're doing an employment verification or employment reference. So, what you need to do.
Like if it's notes on your file or you've been blackballed or something like
that. Get fired or quit or whatever the case may be. And I would draw up a documentation for them to sign to make sure that this is only if someone reaches out to you. This is where you need to know the difference between an employment verification and a employee reference, right? So if they, and this is, helps your pockets legally, like, Now that you have been fired or whatever, and you guys have had a grown-up conversation about y'all being fired, not one of those I'm about to cry and fight everybody type of conversations, or like in an exit interview, this is where you get with your HR department to make sure that they are only releasing your employment dates in the title. That's it. So that's a verification. A reference is somebody that you put a reference down that you used to work with, or a personal reference or a business reference or whatever. They are the ones who are supposed to talk about your, you know, your attendance and this, that, and the other, because we are not, I mean, as a recruiter, I will probably ask, like, but yeah, just make sure, you know, when you are, guys are leaving, you know, even when you put in that 2-week notice, which is also a myth, you guys. So, well, it's not necessarily a myth. It really depends. Now, there
that's
are
just
some
good.
Companies
that's just good business.
That will say if you do not provide at least a 2-week notice, then you won't, first, you won't be eligible for rehire. And then you also, so, and that's another thing that's also in like a, employment verification, like if you're eligible for rehire or not. But the effed up thing about companies, like if they were to ask, is this employee eligible for rehire, and they say no, they won't go and say, oh, she's not eligible because she didn't put in a 2-week notice. Now that's kind of like a mark on you. So that's kind of what they think of.
Not them throwing you under the bus.
Some type of way. Now, you do not have to give in a 2-week notice. You can make your stuff effectively immediately today. Your notice is at will, just like the company is an at will company to fire you. It's really just what they like to call etiquette and to help them out. I'm not a personal fan of a 2-week notice, expect, because 9 times out of 10, when you quit, you ain't going back. So you being worried about. Now, if it's the company that you like and you know you don't want to burn bridges because you just found a better opportunity, then absolutely put in that 2-week notice. But if it's a company that then pissed you off and they don't care about you just as much as you don't care about them, deuces. Okay, so let me be clear. I have put in 2-week notices before and have been relieved from my duties early, and that's normally with a company that didn't give a damn about me and I didn't. And then a company that I really did like, I did put in a 2-week notice, and it was a sad day when I left. Like, I felt like I still needed to, you know, train and be obligated and this, that, and the other because of my team. So, you know, it's really on you. Don't let anybody feel like it's forced to make that situation or that decision from you. Now, to put y'all on game, let me finish. To put when you put in a notice and they relieve you from your duties earlier, you need to have a conversation with them and say, because I did put in this notice, and this is just a conversation because it's not something that is always going to work, they need to pay you out for those 2 weeks. A lot of times companies are like, oh, you can go ahead and relieve now. Like, oh, no, especially if you put in your 2-week notice and you still been working a couple of days. And if they say, we're going to relieve you for your duties early, you need to say, okay, well, I put in my notice as a courtesy and to make sure that I'm in compliance. Can you please pay me out for the 2 weeks or for the rest of the week or the end of the week type of thing? That's all I got to say. What
you nah, I mean my 2 weeks. I was gonna say now. You already know my plan. You know my plan. So before, okay, we're going to cut to the chase. Now, before you decide to put in your 2 weeks, I would suggest looking at your PTO, your sick days, your bank of credit. See what you got working there. And also going into your code of conduct, your guidelines, handbooks, or whomever, and see if your employer has written in those books or in those
handbooks, policies.
In those handbooks, whether or not they pay out for PTO, or if it's out, if it's based off of being fired, or what are the terms and conditions of being able to get your money? Because if they don't pay your PTO out, babe, guess what? You getting this? My 2 weeks of PTO or plus sick days, I flown holidays, have already been submitted in the system, as well as the email that says effective immediately, or not effective immediately, but here is my 2 week notice. However, these are already my days that are in the system. Peace.
Maya hit the nail on the head, because some companies will not, if you quit, they won't give you a notice, or some companies will say if you quit with a notice, they will pay you out. You know, so there's literally a fine line. Y'all keep that handbook on your
now. Getting paid out in terms of your salary and getting paid out in terms of your PTO is two different things, right, friend? Okay.
No, that's what I'm saying. Paid out, yeah. Paid out PTO and vacation and sick days versus being paid out, you know, like a, what is it, a severance package or something. This or even when it comes to bonuses, y'all. So a lot of companies, if you leave before a certain day or whatever the case may be, you don't get your bonus. If you have a good relationship with your manager, you know, have that conversation. Let them know that you got a job that came after you, X, Y, and Z. See what you can talk about, or bypass your manager and go straight to your payroll person. Whatever the case may be, just make sure you get all the facts, so when you are setting up your plan to quit, you have taken your 2 weeks of vacation, you have done whatever. Even if you take it before, because what you can do is you can take it before you leave, the day that you're due to come back, or that Sunday night that you're due to come back on Monday morning, go ahead and put in that notice that this is effective immediately. Today, period. I will not be returning to work. I will drop my equipment off tomorrow, like, type of thing. So just make sure that you do it, you know, the way, whatever works best for you, because at the end of the day, companies are going to do things at an at-will basis, and what is great for your business. Well, yeah,
listen, so all have an exit plan. Don't be like, don't do like both of us have done in the past and just did a fly-by-night drop of a hat. I'm out this motherfucker. Fuck y'all. Have an exit plan. So that you can make sure that you are padded in terms of your financials. And you can also have your cake and eat it too. Shit, I got all this time. Uh-huh. I ain't been taking it off. I might as well give myself 2 weeks of vacation before I start the next thing. Be able to, you know, take a chill pill.
Mm-hmm. I'm about to say, and especially when you can set up that time. And to, like you said, if you decide, like, hey, I already put in my time and you got your job offer, you can say, I done put in my time, pay me out my PTO, and then still take those 2 weeks to work.
Right.
You know, instead of having to put in a 2 week notice in the job on Friday, start a new job on Monday, right? So you put in a 2 week notice, you done already put in your 2 weeks of time or however amount of time, and give you some time to revamp without losing any type of money or pay. So just think
you are the CEO of your own company.
Once again, treat your life and your needs as
what I've been thinking about as well. You can actually find out the pay structure or like the pay period for your next job. Child, if you ain't trying to miss out on no check, submit that 2 weeks on the middle of the middle of your pay period from your current job, so that you, when that 2 weeks roll around for your next one, you don't miss no checks, friend. We need that money. I need that money. I need my money.
Exactly, y'all. Exactly. Okay, so
not slanging and banging
on game for anybody who might have some shit on your background because you was thugging and slugging back in the day. So most companies,
but they do,
first of all, they cannot ask you, is there anything in your background I should know about? Nope, they can't ask you that because it don't correlate with, they ask you, do you agree okay. to do a background check. If a company, if somebody says, is there anything on your background we should know about? There's a difference. There is a difference, friends and family and coworkers. There's a difference. So, yes, it's going to say, will you do a background check in accordance with X, Y, and Z? That's just asking you, will you comply to a background check? Now, if you're saying, is there anything on your background check before an offer date? Now, this is mostly in band-of-box states, right? Now, a lot of companies who have multiple states that they're dealing with, they usually adopt the most strictest state. And so there are also some, like in Texas, Texas is not a band-of-box state, but the city limits of Austin is. So once again, if you need the information, just call me, y'all. I'll help you out. But when it comes to backgrounds, if it's not something that directly correlates with the duties of the job, then they cannot withdraw your job offer. But most of the people, and I think staffing agencies are one of the only people that I know that run background checks before they offer you a job. And I think that is going out of the window now. But so say you have a DUI on your background and you are a office manager, right? That doesn't correlate with each other. Now, when it comes to fraud and something violent and all of that, then yes, you probably ain't gonna ever get a job. But things like a DUI and stuff like that, you guys, if it's something that they're a stickler like that, then that ain't the company for you. And then just reach out to the ELC. I don't know the details about the suing or anything like that, but the rule of thumb is that if your charge doesn't directly affect the business or like their clients, then no. Because I mean, for instance, we had a client, and what is his name? Not his name, but what did he do? So basically, he had like a court order where he jumped bail and this, this, that, and the other, right? So he mistakenly said that it was dismissed. Well, his background came back that he actually served time. That's an integrity issue, right? So this is where you don't want to get yourself in trouble, because it's still at an at-will when it comes to firing or hiring or taking away somebody's offer. So always make sure to be careful of what you say when someone asks you about something. My thing is, the truth is always the best, because a lot of times it comes down to integrity. But, you know, you just want to still make sure that all of your ducks are in the row. If it's something on your background, I would go ahead and if it comes back or be frank, just say what it is. So, I think that's all I got, though. Questions or concerns or facts and fictions that you can think of? I don't think I can think of anything else.
Anyway, we can give people time to provide us with some feedback, ask their own questions. Mm-hmm. But for sure, this is definitely a good conversation, and definitely one that a lot of people aren't having. So, mm-hmm. I'm not saying mm-hmm. we the first, so, but I'm just saying that our faces are in the place first. At the right time, because these are valid questions. And let's see, we're going into the end of Q4, baby, this is mm-hmm. when them jobs start ramping up, because they're trying to get their budget together for Q1.
Let me tell y'all something. Right now, especially if it's a contract role, they're trying to spend the money. And secondly, don't get discouraged if you're in an interview process right now and you haven't really heard back from anyone, because a lot of times they are interviewing during Q4, but slated to do a decision and a start date for Q1. So some people do hire in Q4, but just like a lot of people don't job search, you got the bonuses that are coming up. So a lot of people aren't trying to quit or whatever. Don't let your bonus stop you from job searching right now, or whatever the case may be. You know, just let the employer know that you are not looking to make a transition until the first, or agree that, you know, you can get Christmas or whatever holidays paid for. So that's how you do that. Like, if you're concerned that you, because a lot of companies, you know, you don't get your holidays or PTO eligible until after 60 days or whatever the case may be. If they really need you now, instead of wanting to have you there, you know, you just kind of chat with them about, hey, I would love to start prior to the new year, but I do have Christmas and things that I want to think about. And I know, what is the policy about, you know, having this time paid off? And or can we agree that this time is going to be paid off if I accept this time before the first, you know, before January 1st or before whatever the case may be. So it's always a conversation, y'all. And once again, if y'all have questions, I don't charge for everything. I promise y'all I don't. I do give a lot of free advice. So, but no, seriously though, y'all, just please reach out to us at corpblackgirlspod, and everything will be in the link below. And then, like I said, I'll drop some links over to the EEOC that'll come up with some facts and myths and things that you can take the steps to take over to the EEOC if you are having, or you know, being overworked or discriminated against or whatever the case may be. We're here to help, you know, navigating being black in America, because I had a bad day realizing that, you know, sometimes it's just real unfair being black in America. So that's all I got, really.